Okay, it's 10:45. Let's get started. Good morning, welcome everyone. How's Ignite so far? Well, I know it's good, but I know it's a Friday morning. Everyone is busy packing up, last day conference. I see energy is low. How's Ignite so far? Awesome, I love that. Okay, I'm super excited to talk about the OMS update management capabilities, which allows you to manage updates across Windows and Linux, across your hybrid environments, whether you're running Azure, AWS, other service providers, on-premise data centers. And of course, I'd love to learn a lot of things from you. I'm Ravi Chintalapudi. I'm one of the program managers in the Operations Management Suite team, the OMS team focusing on patching. Well, before the session got started, I did speak to some of you to get your background on patching, how you've been doing there, what's your roles and responsibilities. But I would like to get a pulse of overall audience so that I can actually tweak my presentation as appropriate and go details as needed there. So I request you to please raise your hands if you are directly responsible or directly involved with update management or patching in your environments. Awesome, that's 95% of that. How many of them are using Windows and Linux? Good, 70%. I'm assuming remaining are Linux only, which is good. Next question. How many people have started using OMS in general? Learning about OMS, started using it, that's good. Last question, promise me, I promise this is my last question. How many of you here think patching is not a problem? Awesome, only 1% thinks patching is not a problem, rest all thinks patching is a problem. That's why we are all here to talk about it. Okay. You've seen this slide so many times, I'm gonna skip this. So what's the agenda, what are we gonna talk about? I'm sure throughout this week, you must have seen a lot of OMS sessions. You must have heard about OMS, all the offerings, but I'll get started with just the high-level overview. So just we'll level set the context in the context of update management. Where does update management really fit with the overall OMS suite there? Then we'll jump on to the challenges, what we've been hearing from all of you about like managing updates in your environment. Then we'll jump on to the what are the existing tools Microsoft itself provides to solve those challenges. What are the current gaps, what we have? Then we'll directly jump on to the OMS update management. Why did we even build this solution? What's the principles behind it? What challenges are we solving? What's our value prop? Why you as a customer should even think about OMS update management? We'll do that, then we'll deep dive into all the capabilities, what we've been releasing this week, followed by demos. And then lastly, we'll talk about one of your favorite topics about roadmaps. What's going to come up in the next 3 to 6 months, what's in approval, what's in a backlog, what's going to come up there, and Q&A. Key takeaway, I'm pretty sure each and one of you must have attended hundreds of sessions throughout the week, you must have got a lot of data, and it's hard to remember everything. But if there's one key takeaway I want you to take when you go out of this room at 12 o'clock is this. OMS provides orchestrated update management solution across any OS, even if you're running Windows or Linux, across any clouds, whether you're running Azure or other public clouds called AWS, RightScale, other service providers, on-premises data centers, private cloud, hosted cloud, anywhere. It's one solution for everything. So that's one key takeaway. I'll be re-emphasizing this throughout the session there, but that's one key takeaway, even if you forget everything there. Okay, so let's get started on OMS. What's OMS? It's a cloud-based IT management solution to manage and protect your infrastructure and applications. It gives you that complete visibility and control across your hybrid environment with a simplified experience. So the four things we're seeing are the four offerings what OMS provides. So let's drill down a little bit each on the stuff. Again, I'll give you a high-level overview. If you have not seen the other sessions, I recommend you, at the end of the thing, I put a slide which includes all the sessions, what we did in the OMS thing. I recommend you to look at that stuff to get some more details. Let's start with the first one, automation and control. So what's the value of this? It gives you an increased control with automation and configuration management. It helps you deliver that continuous IT services, helps you track or manage that rapid changes happening in your environment. It gives you the control back so that you can focus on, it gives you control back by remediating all those operational tasks so that you can get back time to focus on the work which gives you more business value. The next big pillar is insight and analytics. The core value of this ability to collect, correlate, and act upon data from multiple sources. Could be at servers, machines, other machines there. And other aspect of insights and analytics is an application dependency. where you can select the, you can know the dependency of your application, which will help you to troubleshoot those incidents first much faster. Third pillar is about security and compliance, which is helps you to identify, assess, and mitigate all those security threats, helps you to create some policy, security policies, and monitor those security configurations. And the last offering is about protection and recovery, which provides a very simple automated backup process. So all your environment, infrastructure, critical data, workflows are backed up, and also ensures the availability of the servers by disaster recovery services there. The update management, what we're going to talk about over the next 70 minutes, is part of automation and control offering, the first offering what we have seen. So let's drill a little bit on what is that offering. Where does update management really play there? So there are three services within automation and control. The first one is process automation, like an Azure automation service. How many of you are using Azure automation service in the cloud right now? It's only a few people there. OK, so the process automation, or we call automation management, helps you to manage your resources anywhere. Again, we are running in the cloud, on-prem, Windows, Linux, any one single tool there. It helps you to automate all those business processes, helps you automate those long, error-prone, long-running manual tasks there. It helps you to automate and integrate with other systems. I'm not going to talk a lot more about it because yesterday one of our colleagues, Chris and Jenny, did a fantastic session. So I recommend you, all of you, to go look at that session if you have not seen that. The second big service in our offering is configuration management. It helps you set that baseline configurations, prevents any configuration drifts, ensures that the configuration is set back with the powerful, flexible options. And this is based on DSC, desired state configuration capability from the Windows. Other aspect of configuration is the change tracking. We have heard from many of you, like majority of the incidents happen in your environment due to some changes. Everything was working till yesterday. All of a sudden, nothing is working. I've got a lifesite incident. And the key challenge is ability to identify and isolate that issue, do all the root cause analysis as quickly as possible. And that's the value what change tracking brings in. It allows you to track your changes across Windows and Linux across your hybrid clouds to give you that guided troubleshooting for your operational teams. OK, the last service in this offering is an update management. It's, again, a unified orchestrator service across Windows and Linux, across your hybrid management. It gives you the two aspects. First aspect is gives you insights. What's really happening in my environment? Is my environment compliant or not? If not, how lag I'm behind? How many machines are not compliant? The next part is a deployment part. Once you know what are the problematic machines, how do you go fix this? How do you go patch them? So that's the two aspects what we have. Well, rest of the time, we'll drill very deep into that. So the key takeaway of this slide is automation and control, the capabilities what automation and control provides, plays a role in every phase of both an application and infrastructure lifecycle, starting from the build, managing, deploying those, creating and managing those deployments, configuring those VMs, applications, infrastructure as per your needs, ensuring their environment is completely consistent with updates, monitoring all the changes, tracking the changes, and protecting them, and securing them. Something gets compromised or exploited, how do you go secure with them? And finally, giving that power to control who accesses what using role-based access control. So automation and control offerings play a role in every phase of your application and infrastructure lifecycle. OK, let's change the gears and talk about updates. What are the customer challenges, what we've heard from all of you regarding when managing updates? About a couple of years, I think last 2014, December or something, we started a Moneyball exercise across IT management. How many of folks have not heard about Moneyball? That's a big buzzword. So, except one, I've not seen any others. Everyone looks like heard about Moneyball. It's all about customer statistical data involvement validation engineering for your building the software there. So we spoke about 700 customers, whether phone calls, surveys, emails, conference calls, in-person thing, across IT management. And patching seems to be one of the main problem. And what's really interesting was we all know update management or patching has been there for years. We all know all the organizations have been patching their servers for years. But why still patching is still a big headache? And I've seen, as you have seen, only one person said patching is not a problem. Rest of them, patching is a problem. Why is that? So we did another deep dive to understand exclusively challenges on the update management. We spoke about 122 Windows customers, about 75 Linux customers across the globe, across the industry. Average organization size was about 9,000 people, which shows that these are enterprise class customers there. Another good thing is about 92% of the people are directly involved with the patching. So the challenge is what we have heard, directly what they are facing in their daily jobs. So let's quickly look at what are the top challenges. Here I put a quick summary. I don't want to skip the challenges. I want to make sure we address that. So I just put a summary of the challenges. Starting from Windows side, first thing is reliability. Microsoft releases patches second Tuesday of the month. We all know that. But what is the reliability that this new patch doesn't break my environment? All the customers whom I've spoken to, almost everyone has been doing a phased approach. They always patch their test machines first, then dev machines, then their production machines, the stage machines in between to do that, to get that comfort, hoping something will be able to find out in between so they can exclude in that patch when you're doing that stuff. Next is maintenance window. How do I ensure that it actually fits in my maintenance window? What if I cannot fit the maintenance window? Is my machine going to leave non-compliant? Other big thing what we have is orchestration, patch orchestration there. And I'm sure everyone agree with me. All the customers I spoke to agreed. Even yesterday, I was talking to some of them. Last 2-3 days, they agreed. Whenever your organization is patching a business critical applications, people work in the weekends, people work in the nights, people sit in front of the computer making sure that application is up and running. They run a bunch of pre-steps, post-steps. There's no tool which gives you that complete orchestration capabilities there. Leveraging existing groups. We have learned that patching is always done at a group of servers, because you always have this own grouping called all Windows servers, all test servers, all level servers. Could be Active Directory groups, could be SCCM collections, could be WSS groups. How do we ensure that we can patch to the group of servers there? Error handling, that's another favorite. What happens if something fails? How quickly I can find out this problem and redo that problem there? Workload-aware patching is another big thing which came out, which is, that, as I was talking about, the challenges with critical workload applications. The reason why they are doing this manual whole thing is lack of understanding of dependencies. What are the dependencies of these applications? Which one I should order the write them there? And today, that's completely in the hands of the application owner, his tribal knowledge of the app owner, or some documentation if you're really lucky. There. The last thing is about update coordination and the communication. The process what we have seen in multiple big organizations is a central IT admin tries to coordinate with all the patch owners, application owners, put a big Excel sheet saying that, hey, I'm going to, please tell me when you want to patch your application. Make sure that you put your dependencies fed. He's going to talk to other application owner. I see some faces smiling. Again, can relate how they're actually doing that stuff there. So that's about the Windows at a high level. Let's talk a little bit about Linux. Linux is completely a different ballgame. You all agree with me there. Is anyone who doesn't agree? Good. No one there. There's no concept of Patch Tuesday in Linux. There are no updates at all. People call software packages. There are no toolings. Yes, most of the people use scripts and cron jobs. Even though there are some tools from some of the vendors like Red Hat, Ubuntu, SUSE, they are very specific to that distro. There is no tooling which works across the distros. Does customers use different distros? Yes, absolutely. Because they use Red Hat for their production machines. They use CentOS for their dev machines because it's inexpensive. They want to make sure that the database runs on Oracle because that's powerful there, Ubuntu on the cloud. So people have different distros, but there's no tooling which does one unified thing there. Rest of the stuff like scheduling, orchestration, workload-aware patching, better control what gets applied are pretty common across Windows and Linux there. Again, this is a quick summary of all the challenges we had. I cannot put all the challenges in one slide there. But if you have a major challenge which you think is not listed here, which is bothering you, I'd love to hear. So please meet us, my engineering team, right after the session. We'd love to hear those challenges. So what did we do after hearing all these challenges? Yes, there are great challenges. Then I said, first step we did is let's look at existing tools from Microsoft itself, what problems they're solving. Where is our value prop? Why should we even build a new thing with all the engineering team involved? So this is some of the tools. So this is some of the tools, like Microsoft Update, everyone knows, which is directly connected systems. OMS, we leverage this system. It's not an enterprise-grade solution because people want control what gets installed. Then there's WSS. You can get an approvals, but it's typically only for Windows. Then SCCM is a beast, which has got all the capabilities, rich capabilities. It's not for Linux. Then there's cluster-aware updating, SCVMM, VM extension, CPS. Each of this tool solves some problems. But there's no tooling which does across heterogeneous environments, Windows and Linux. There's no tooling across which does across cloud and on-premises environments, everything. And that's exactly the value what OMS Update Management makes. It's one solution across Windows and Linux, across your hybrid environment, public clouds, private clouds, on-prem data center. So the first question I've seen, I was talking to some folks here. They said, hey, do you support Linux? I'm here to learn about Linux. So they always start, Windows is always given. Do you guys even do the Linux? And that's the value what we're going to bring here. So I've already talked about update management across Windows and Linux, across hybrid clouds. So the other two key things you have to look at is there are two big parts of the update management solution. The first one is Insights, which gives you a quick snapshot of your environment from an updates perspective, both on Windows and Linux. You can quickly get how many computers I have, how many are compliant, how many are non-compliant. If they are non-compliant, what updates are actually missing, how long they have been missing there. Second one is in the deployment part. Once I know these are the problematic ones, how do I go fix those with the flexible options? So let's drill a little bit more on the insights part. I'll start with the insights on the Windows side. As I said, first, one detailed reporting across Windows and Linux. The detailed report includes complete inventory of your information, complete snapshot of your compliance snapshot of your information, how many computers are missing updates, what sort of updates are missing, how long they've been missing the updates there. And it doesn't matter whether they are domain joined machines, non-domain joined machines. Time estimates for install. I want to pause and talk a little bit about this. One of the big pain points what we have heard from our customers is the unpredictability about how long these updates really take to install. Does it really fit my maintenance windows? If not, my machine will be non-compliant. So the approach what we took to solve this problem is when any of our managed agents is actually installing an update, we collect the time and we save it there. We use the crowdsourcing and data, big data there. So similarly, we do for all the updates and we aggregate the information there. So when I tell you a particular machine is missing updates, we exactly know what are the updates it's missing. And if you have information about those updates in our environment, we'll tell you, hey, it's going to take 2 hours to do that. So you can actually think about, does it really fit my maintenance windows? If this is continuously happening, adjust that maintenance windows there. We are taking this one step further about the reliability piece there. Why only our managed agents? Why can't we go further? How do I know that a particular KB or a particular update has how many times it's downloaded, how many times it's installed, how many times it's uninstalled, so that you can think about, oh, this is not good for my environment. For that, we are actually working with other internal teams in Microsoft. Microsoft Update actually does that. So if any update is installed anywhere in the world, we can collect the statistics, again, using the crowdsource, big data to do that, to actually tell you next time we can produce a report to you saying that, hey, these updates, 90% of them has been installed, 10% have been uninstalled, so that you can make that judgment right there without trying to try out something, fail something, and realize that. This capability is not there yet. It's going to be coming up soon. I just want to reemphasize that it will be coming up near future there. But the ability to do time estimates is already available. It will be GA this week there. So I talked about number of computers not updated within X number of days. It's very important that you know how many computers are missing, how long they've been missing. They're missing from 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, so that you can go fix those problematic ones first. In terms of supportability, we align with MMA agent. It supports Windows Server 2008, R2 and above for the insights part, in order to get an insights on the machines there. Other cool thing is we are not reinventing any tools. We leverage the native Windows tools. For example, to scan the machine and tell you what's missing, we use the Windows Update agent, which comes out of the box. Our scanning does twice a day, every 12 hours, and we know that scanning is an expensive operation, so we don't want to bombard the machine. So every 15 minutes, we call other Windows Move and APIs, other Windows APIs, like a cheap query, to asking for a status of an update. Is there any change? If there's a change, we'll initiate the scan. If not, no. But every 12 hours, we want to take a snapshot and send the results there. Other big thing I want to call out is we are leveraging a proven log analytics platform and automation platform. Once we scan and collect the information there, we pipe it to our log analytics channel, and we just produce insights and reports on top of that. Okay, so I put this slide just to level set the context about Linux. As I talked about, Linux is a different ballgame. There's no concept of Patch Tuesday. And this is what we have heard after talking to that 75 customers. What's a typical life cycle? How do people go patch in Linux? So I want to set that context there. As you can see, in the bottom, what you can see is all the Linux servers. When they configure the Linux server, they configure it to a public mirror, which most of these vendors like Red Hat, SUSE, Ubuntu will provide, which is, and they sync that public mirror regularly there. Some enterprises create a private mirror, just like a downstream WSS server, so they can control. So this is how machines are getting the patch content. And they kick off a cron job on a particular, with no SLA. Some have done monthly, some have done bi-monthly, some 3 months. They kick off a cron job, it downloads and installs the stuff. So what did we do? So what's our inside story on Linux? The first thing I said, we provide a unified reporting and compliance across Linux distros. Currently, we support 4 distros, Red Hat 5.6.7, CentOS 5.6.7, Ubuntu 12, 14, 16. There's another slide which talks about these versions, but a high-level SUSE 11 and 12 there. And I talked about earlier, people do use different distros because they have different requirements, and certain workloads work on better certain distros, and some are inexpensive there. In terms of reporting, we provide 2 types of reporting. One is a basic reporting, which tells you what's really missing on your server, which is the package version name, your repository, the version number. Then we have done an advanced reporting where we have done a lot of data enrichment by doing the following. The first thing we do is we go collect from the machine what's really missing by leveraging the native Linux tools there. We collect that information. Then we go to the cloud. We pick up the OVL file, Open Vulnerability Assessment Language, which is a security bulletin from each of these vendors, which tells you the vulnerabilities, but doesn't tell you which vulnerability is really impacting the packages in your environment. Do I need to be really worried about it? So what we do is we do process both of them, we normalize the data, we transform it, and we give you exactly the reporting which impacts you. So we give you all the security information, like what is the classification of this? What is the CVE score of this, common vulnerability exposure? I'm pretty sure every Linux admin cares more about the CVE score. That's the first thing he'd look when he looks at the patch. Do I have to even install this? Is it really critical enough? The other enrichment what we have done is the consolidation of the classification, like critical, security, and others. Why did we do this? The problem is if I look at a Red Hat and CentOS, they have their own severity, which is called critical, high, medium, low. If I go to Ubuntu, it says high, medium, low, negligible. So each one have their own severity classification. So we did a consolidation, still honoring the vendor-specific severities. In our UX, you can see both of them side by side. And we already validated this with our 100-plus private preview customers. By the way, update management has been in private preview from January. The Linux part started around like June, July. So they already validated this consolidation and said that kind of makes sense. Okay, so this is kind of like a high-level architecture diagram, how the few other things I want to talk. The rest of the things when I was talking about, a domain joined, Azure, on-prem remains the same story across Windows and Linux. Our goal is to keep the parity between Windows and Linux as much as we can. Even on the Linux side, we keep the same spirit, try to leverage the existing tools, like we call like local repo managers, like Yum, apt-get, Zyper, depends on what distro are you using. Then we leverage both our log analytics platform and the automation platform. So you'll see that right here. As you can see, when you have a Linux computer, first you install the OMS agent. Then we use our DSC channel from automation to go configure that machines, which internally calls the local repo manager, get the data, pipe it. Then the enrichment, what I was talking about, that's where we go to the Linux vendors, pull the security data, and wherever you see the OMS, that does all the magic there and generates you that report. So these are the versions I was talking about, Red Hat 5.6.7, including the architectures, what you can see there, SUSE 11 and 12, Ubuntu 12, 14, 15, 16, CentOS again 5.6.7. The one which you see are shaded are the currently supported ones. And the one you see on the right side, Amazon, Linux, Debian, are currently futurely planned. They're not there yet, but we have planned for the future. Okay, I think that's enough of me talking. I'll show you the things in action. I don't need a mic. Okay, so this is the OMS dashboard, in case you have not seen this. There are different solutions what you have. Update management is right here. But if you are a first-time user to the OMS, you would go to the solutions gallery. I zoomed it, so I'll just zoom back. So there's an update management solution. Let me zoom out a little bit. So here what you can see, read everything about update management, including the pricing information. For the first time when you're logging in, you'll see a button called add. Since I've already added, I'll see something called view. I'll click on that. So this gives me a complete dashboard across Windows and Linux and across my hybrid environments. The first three tiles, what you're seeing here, are the computer-specific views, which tells me about your first one is about Windows computers, which tells me how many machines I have. If you look at this, I've got 20 computers, 12 are compliant, remaining are non-compliant. And if you go to the bottom slide, which talks about the specific machines which are non-compliant, and this is sorted by critical, so you know which are the problematic ones. People always look at critical first, and they go to security ones there. So I'm trying to keep my environment fairly thin there, but there are a few culprits here. We're going to fix that. The next tile tells you how long these updates have been missing, 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, so you can take an action on those problematic ones first. The third tile is about the Linux computers. Again, giving you that complete snapshot of your compliance from respective updates. Shows you all your machines, and you can see all the distros what we have there. It's got six computers, four are missing critical and security. The last two tiles are about update-specific views. From the updates which are missing, how many of them are security? How many of them are critical? So you know how bad your environment is. So one is a Windows-specific view. One is a Linux-specific view. These things are managed deployments. Once you identify, like, hey, these are the problematic machines, I want to go take an action, I want to go patch this, that's where you would come. We'll cover that in the next demo. On the right-hand side, you see all the common queries. Give me a machine which is missing all security. Give me a machine which is missing all critical machines there. You can also build your own queries. That's my driver update. You can also build your own queries. For example, if you want to know update status compliance of a particular machine, your boss machine, especially make sure it's compliant and that too during performance review cycles so it doesn't bother you later. Okay. So now let's look at each of the one and drill a little bit further. Okay. I'm zoomed in. I think it looks good. People in the back, if you cannot see it, please raise your hand so you can do it. So in this environment, I've got 20 computers, six seems to be problematic ones, eight seems to be problematic ones. Let me drill through that. As you can see, the filter gives out, restricts to only critical and security, so you exactly know which are the problematic ones. And look at this one, I've got 297, that's a problem. So let's drill and see what is the metadata, what sort of data it's actually covering. And this is where we are using our So this is where we're leveraging our log analytics platform, giving the search results and filtering capabilities. You can put the timestamp whether you want 1 day, 6 days, or a custom timestamp. And you can see all the metadata, what we are collecting from the machine. And you can filter. I want to see only security updates. I want to see only critical updates. I want to see only MSRC severity. I want to look at the bulletin IDs. I want to see how we approved it, whether it's a Microsoft update or WSS, what's a computer. And if you look at a table view, you can actually see all data in one single tabular view. And this is a cool search perspective. I'll zoom out a little bit so that you can actually see this. It gives you one search perspective of all the updates, how long you've been missing, whether it's security critical. We'll come back in a minute. I also have a backup environment, like I've opened up in another session, like in a Chrome, so you can also see that information there. So once you go to a particular machine, you get a search perspective. What is the common, what you call a search perspective, where you can see a diagrammatic view of how the information is there. This is what you would see there. The classification of the updates, the age of the updates. Looks like most of the machines have more than 180 days, so I have to take some action on that. OK, Okay, let's come back and see what it's doing. Let's go back to our homepage. So that completes the Windows part, what we have seen. Let's drill a little bit on the Linux side. So this is the Linux computer view. It says that I've got 6 computers. Four are missing critical, 4 are missing security. Let's drill down on this. So I'll use my other backup session then while it's loading up. So I'll go to Linux. These are the 6 machines what it showed which is missing, having some problems. I'll drill all my Red Hat machine. My web server is on my Red Hat. As you can see, I'm using Red Hat, Ubuntu. My database is on Ubuntu DevBox. I'm using a MongoDB there. So let me drill all on my Red Hat server where my web server is hosting. And the same thing I talked about, you have the rich search criteria here, metadata, which actually shows the package severity. And this is the classification I was talking about, the consolidation, what we have done. So let me just select and filter that only to critical and security. You can see all the products what you have. You can see the repositories. You can see the OS type. You can see all the bulletin URLs there. So let's drill on what data we're showing. So let me zoom in a little bit. People in the back can see that? Awesome. So this is the data enrichment what I was talking about. It tells you what operating system you're running, what is the classification, what is the bulletin, what is the package severity, including the CVE score. Let me go a little bit down. It actually shows the CVE scores, which what most of the admins really care about. Let me quickly show you how did we do this. So I talked about this, a two-step approach what we have taken. The first step is to getting all the inventory from the machine. What's really missing, which is the common, to get the basic reporting. Then we would go to the OWL file, which is Center for Internet Security, or the Security Bulletin, and they populate the data every 12 hours for all the repositories, including thing there. So we download, I've shown you architecture diagram, it actually shows how we pull that stuff. And just to show you an example, how does an OWL file would look like. It would look like something like this. And you can search in between what is the vulnerability, what is in between there, so hard. But once we process and normalize the data, this is what we show. You can see this. So we actually tell you the critical security, all the bulletin items. This is all the enrichment what our team has done the last few months to provide that security information for you guys. Okay. So we covered this, we'll cover the managed deployments, we talked about the thing there. So that's the insights part, what we have covered on both on Windows side and Linux side. So let's go back onto the slide deck. Okay, now let's talk about update actions. So now that we know all the insights, what are my problematic computers, which are missing security updates, which are missing my critical updates, what do I do now? I want to go take an action on top of them, make sure I fix those problematic ones. So let's start with update action on the Windows side. From an OS supportability perspective, we support Windows 2012 and above, which means that you can update those machines which are running Windows 2012 and above. We're also looking to go backward compatibility up to 2008 R2 later, but it's not there today when in this released version. In terms of update targeting the existing groups. I talked about this as one of the main pain points what we have heard from our customers there. So in order to solve the problem, we support either you can select a single computer or you can build an OMS search group. If you are using OMS, the search results of what I was saying, you can create a search. Give me all Windows machines, all Linux machines, just like the way you use other search mechanisms. You can also use WSS groups. And WSS has two types of grouping, a server-side targeting and a client-side targeting there. People using WSS might know this stuff there. So if you're using a WSS server-side targeting, you need to install the OMA agent on the box where the server is hosted. If you are using a client-side targeting, then you have to install the MMA agent, the OMS agent, on each of these machines there. And we can also pull Active Directory groups. Other thing what we do is we allow you to select previous update deployments. So I created an update deployment this month which is patching all my dev machines or test machines. Next month, when Microsoft releases the patches, I want to reuse that machines. Nobody will create a new machines because the new patches have come. So we'll leverage, help you to leverage that existing deployments. Flexible scheduling options. So we know patching is not a one-time thing. It's going to happen every month, some people do weekly. So we provide all the options of once, one time, weekly, monthly, with a complete flexibility of, I want to do on a Friday morning, I want to do on a Saturday, or I want to do on a second Saturday, I want to do on a fourth Saturday, I want to do last day of the month. So you have all those flexibilities what we have. Enhanced troubleshooting. So I was talking earlier, the patch insights part, we are leveraging the log analytics platform, and the patch action part, we are leveraging our automation platform, which is proven. We run about 5 million plus jobs a month. It shows the scale what we can handle that. So what happens is, behind the update action, it's all powered by automation, and we use our hybrid runbook workers, which enables our hybrid cloud management. How many people have used hybrid runbook workers or heard about it? A few people there. So it enables our hybrid cloud management story. So we can reach out to any machine and do action on that particular machine there. So what, since it's runbooks, we have master runbooks, we have child runbooks there. It collects rich data from the machines like a streams, and we pipe it to the cloud. And we have written some custom ETD value providers itself, so we collect a lot more data on the machine. So between both of them, the data what we collect from the search, what we have from the job streams, you have rich data to help troubleshoot your problems in case there is a failure. Support for proxy servers. We understand most of the organizations have a very strict guidelines on their firewalls, ports, proxies. So we work in a proxy environment, whether you are using own proxy or using OMS gateway. We honor both of them, and we work in that proxy environment. So you can patch your machines even if you are behind proxy. So we have done some fundamental work, infrastructure work, to support this case. All we need is the machine to have access to internet. Just a standard HTTPS port 80 or 443, nothing else. You don't need to worry about opening any other firewalls, ports, any of the stuff there. Dependent on Woo or Moo for update curation. So where do we get the content? Now we're saying that we have all these flexible options for targeting, scheduling, but where do we get the patch content? So in this release, we rely on the Microsoft update. It depends on how the agent is configured. If the agent is configured to Microsoft update, we pull the content from there. If the agent is configured to WSS, we go pull the content there. So you would go that, for example, you go to WSS to do the approvals there. Currently, we are not supporting SCCM managed machines for update action. You still can get insights from SCCM managed machines, but you'll not be able to patch those, but that's one of the work what we're going to be working very soon there. I'll take a quick question, but I'll do all the questions, the rest of the thing there.
Did you just say that the approvals are done in WSS?
That's correct. For this solution, approvals have to be done in WSS there. If you do Moo, there's no approvals. You can directly download everything. That's the difference there. I can go very detail after the session there. Thank you. I said, yeah, leveraging log analytics platform and automation platform. I talked about, when I show the demo, I'll actually walk you through what happens behind the cover step by step. Linux patch action. So how many of folks are really interested to try out Linux patch action? A few hands there. So one thing I want to tell you is what we GA'd this week is the only ability to patch your Windows servers. The ability to patch your Linux servers will be in private preview pretty soon. I'm going to preview soon there. In my environment, I'll walk you through how it happens, because I have enabled everything. Our goal is to keep parity in both of them there. But if you're interested in joining the private preview, working with us throughout the development process, reach out to me or my engineering team. We'll help you get started with that. OK, so we'll do the demo of update action now. So I'm going back to my dashboard. And this is what I was talking about. In order to do a deployments, you would go create a managed deployments. I'll go to my other workspace where I have built a lot of data. So when you go to update deployments page, what you're seeing is all the schedules, all the deployments what I've scheduled. So as you can see, I've scheduled monthly one-time thing there. So let's look at from here. I've aligned my update deployments to align with the patch Tuesday. So that second Tuesday, I'm going to patch all my test servers at 11:30 night. Everything goes well, next day I'll do my dev servers. Then I'll do few prod servers. Everything goes well. That weekend I'll do my all the prod servers, then I'll do my applications. This is what I've seen customers doing, a very phased approach, with a goal that you'll be able to find out some problems doing that. So this is the current experience. But once we build more orchestration capabilities, you can completely orchestrate this in such a way that I do all my dev machines or test machines first. If that works fine, automatically kick off dev, automatically kick off test. If there's a failure, yeah, stop there. Throughout this process, notify me. So you can completely orchestrate this once we build more capabilities. And this shows actually running deployments. I'm not running anything right now. And it shows all the completed deployments. This is where you would go get your detailed statistics, what happened to my deployments. So let's start with creating a new deployment. So when you're creating a new deployment, this is what I was talking about. First, you need to be able to target to a specific groups what you have. You'll be able to select a flexible scheduling option. So let me zoom this a little bit in. So this is the list. You can see all your computers, whether it could be a single computer, whether it could be an Active Directory group, whether it could be my OMS search group I was talking about earlier. I have my dev machine, test machines. I also have my Linux machines. I have my applications. And this is the one I was talking about, showing the previous update deployments. Because we know people will not create new machines. People will just install the new patches. So you always want to reiterate those existing deployments. So let me patch my HR application. So it's an Ignite. It's an Ignite HR app. So let me select my machines. I'll do my database first. Then I'll do my middle tier. Then I'll do my front end. OK. So what happens behind the covers is it's going to parallelly start the patching in all three nodes of your application. But if you really want to sequence them, there are multiple options. With the current capabilities, you can create a separate deployment. You can create a deployment for all your database servers first. After that's done, you can create for the middle end and back, front end, depends on how you want. Very soon, we'll be having some of the orchestration capabilities where we can sequence right within that thing. I want to patch, I want to update only my database server first, then this right within that update deployment. I also talked about other option. You can sequence the update deployments as well. And this is a flex scheduling options I was talking about. You can select your time zone what you want. You can do a one-time, or you can do a recurring weekly, whether it happens once a week. And you can select a particular day you want. And you can select the time when you want to get started. Duration. So this is the one which is very important. I was talking about maintenance windows. So if I specify that 60 minutes here, or whatever number you specify, which means that we allow you to, our system will only run updates only during that time. Right after that, we'll come out of that so that your machine is back again. So you don't want to patch a machine when it's being used for your live users there. So it clearly talks about here. Let me zoom that a little bit. It gives a text what it does. So what we do is, when you, I'll just walk you through what happens and how this duration gets used. And you can see we don't support SCCM right now, and we support only 2012 and above, so that you don't get into a problem. So what happens after a click save? So once the user clicks save here, we create a schedule, like automation schedule there, and we pass the parameters of this machines, and we also pass the time what you have given, and we also give the duration. So when that schedule triggers, in this case, if I have selected, say, I'll select sometime, I don't want to do now, I'll do tomorrow morning. So when that time triggers tomorrow morning, the master schedule runs, master runbook runs, then it reaches out to all the patch nodes on your environment. This could be in anywhere, cloud or on-prem there, since we sent as a parameter. It'll kick off the patch at that time. It'll go scan the machine, calling the Windows Update Agent machines, get the list of required updates, and then start installing the first one, then checks back, I mean, that's still the 60-day, 60-minute window or not. Yes, I can do the next one. I'll do the next one. Every time it checks and ensures that you are in that window. We hit that, we also allocate some buffer for the reboot, because most of the updates require a reboot. This is one of our metadata, what you can actually see there. So when it hits at that time, it stops there. If you leave it blank, then it installs all the updates parallelly for all that machine until it is done. So in this case, I'll leave it 60 on there and hit save. So now this creates a schedule. I'll go to an existing deployment to show you what happened, the one which I've run yesterday. So I'll go to my completed deployments. I've run that yesterday afternoon, 12 to 1 my Pacific Standard Time. So you can actually see how many computers were there, whether it really got installed. On the right side tile, you can actually see how many what updates got installed during this deployment. So I had 43 attempted, and all the updates were succeeded, no failed, and nothing unattempted. And if you really want to see what are those 5 machines, you'll bring back your search capabilities. You see all the 43 results. You can get all the details of KBIDs, what are the titles, and what are the 5 computers. And if you drill down and you can filter further, say, I want to really care about one particular machine and see what happened to that machine there. Other cool thing is, since we are now linking that to an automation account, so and you want to know where is your automation account, which is another service what we had talked earlier. So if I go to my settings, and if I go to my accounts, and if I go to my this, I can see my linked automation account is OMS Automation Demo. So let me go to the Azure portal and bring up this automation account and see what data does it give me. So I'm in the Azure portal. I'm pretty sure everyone must have seen Azure portal earlier. So I'm in that one service called automation accounts, automation service. This is my automation account which was linked. I can see my jobs. And I'll go to the job which actually got completed around that time. Around it started at 12, around 12:25. And if I do my all logs, let me zoom this. People at the back seat, well, okay. So it started at 12:06, it reached the machine, it started scanning the updates, it found 13 updates, it started, that's why I'm saying, even though we know we're going to update the patches, we always want to go scan the machine again just before we installing that. See the latest snapshot. It found 13 updates, then it started installing the first update security, then installing it, then it's done. I'm summary. And it starts the same thing for every update. Every update it checks, hey, I'm still in time or not. And as you can see, if you go all the stuff all the way down, you're going to get a complete verbose logs, what's happened on the machine. You can also see the machine is trying to reboot. It's finished reboot. And the interesting thing is it started to scan again. Why? So if you set a time, like say longer time, say 2 hours, and we finish installing all the updates during that time, it's going to scan again. Because one of the main problems what we have heard from the customers is, yeah, it finishes the patching process, but sometimes some updates get released. How do I ensure that it's compliant again? So we try to scan the box again before wrapping up, again, still within the window of the time what you have given, start the scans, and finally says, I'm done. And sends a summary back. So you have the power of both automation job streams. You can enable verbose to get a detail, every detail step, what's really happening on that machine. You can also use a log analytics search results to get some machine data and everything. So this is coming from our job. The other one is coming from the custom ETW provider, what we have written. So with both this information, you have a very rich troubleshooting experience. One quick thing I want to show you about Linux patching, what we have done. I've kicked off a patch, our team kicked off a patch last night, just to show that Linux is actually working. That's why we're ready to go in the private preview. So this is exclusively a Linux machines. I look at the completed ones. I pick up the one which has done last night. Same results what you get. But if you look at here, you can actually see Ubuntu running and Apache running, Tomcat running, all the stuff there. So you can actually show this is live. So another important thing I want to call out here is if you go back to our manage deployments where you're selecting the computers, to load. So the listing what you see here, the groups of machines, here you can see both Windows and Linux machines because I enabled the private preview. But in your case, when you launch to OMS Update Management Solution, you'll be seeing only Windows computers because the Linux thing is still in private preview. So there's a bug here. My engineering folks are sitting right here. They're going to fix it right now or like in the evening. So that's why I got them here. They know exactly what's happening in the demo. So this is where you get all the machines. As you can see, I have my all the Linux machines coming up here. I can see my Red Hat machines. I can see my CentOS boxes. So you can, you'll be able to see only when we enable the private feature flag. Right now, when you go add an OMS automation solution and this update management, you'll only see Windows. Other cool thing about this whole overall OMS update management solution is, as a user, you don't need to do any configuration. Just ensure that these agents are connected to the OMS workspace and add the update management solution, then we kick off the scanning and we generate the results for you. If you have to do an update action, that's where you go configure WSUS or Moonbeam and how the agent is configured. Okay. I'll go back to my slide deck. So just a quick summary, this is what we covered on the insights and the deployments part. Just to reiterate, Linux is coming in a few minutes, Linux patch action. If you're interested, come and talk to us. We'll add you to the private preview feature program, customer cohort program. Okay, let's spend some time on roadmap. So as you can see in the first part of the slide, we talked about what we released. I said earlier that we've been in private preview from January of this year, and we've been continuously releasing the features every month, and we've been working with our private preview cohort customers, about 110 on Windows side and about 45 on the Linux side. They've been working with throughout the stuff. So in Jan, we released the update insights part from the Windows side, giving that insights. We started working on the time estimates, allowing you to take an update action. In March, we started building, leveraging those groups. Again, everything is driven by the customer feedback. We know this problem, we are validated with them, and we started building it. That's a true agile model, what we are going through in Microsoft, especially our division right now. It's all about making sure that this feature is really be used by the customers. In April, we started building the rich capabilities of enhanced troubleshooting. July, with all the infrastructure work to support proxy environment insights. And September, where we are trying to create a Linux patch action, all the proxy work there. So what's coming up next? As I talked about Linux update installation, that's something what will be coming up next. All the orchestration pieces I was talking about, sequencing, ability to sequence your update deployments, ability to sequence machines within an update deployment, ability to do pre and post steps, bunch of scripts you want to run before your application gets patched, scripts you want to run after application gets patched to ensure that application is coming up that. So we're going to leverage our automation platform to actually close that loop. And first-class experience for IIS, Azure IIS. Today, you can actually patch your IIS VM. There's nothing wrong with it. You can select a VM, and you can select in the target computers, go patch it there. We are looking to provide a first-class experience where once you go to a VM, a resource within an Azure, you can see in some update capabilities there and kick off an action right from there. SCCM managed machines. As I said, today we get insights on from the, any of the SCCM managed machines, but ability to go patch an SCCM agent machines is coming up later. How many of you are using SCCM today? Big chunk of the people. So we kind of knew this is our next priority work. We have to work together. The reason we cannot patch immediately, there's work needs from both the teams to do that, because SCCM takes control of the Windows Update Agent. So we are working with them very closely to give our requirements and do that stuff. OK, so that's what's coming up next. And the next thing, what you see in the complete backlog, nothing has been prioritized. But the things what we have in our mind is full approval mechanism. As I talked earlier, answered one of the questions, people have to go to WSUS for your approvals, or you can go to Move to get directly updates. We are looking to provide full approvals right within our solution so that you don't have to go to any other solution there. Workload-aware update management. So when you are patching, updating those critical applications, I want to show you the whole dependencies right within there so that you can schedule update of that dependencies first, then go back and patch those actual machines there. Reliability. These are two concepts of reliability I was talking about, working with getting that Windows Update telemetry from across the world and giving that insights. Is that machine, how many people have really installed this update? How many people have uninstalled it? How many people downloaded? So you get that confidence in applying those updates in your environment. And that's what most of the admins do. And I've spoken, the first thing they do is they go to a DL and see someone said, this broke my environment. Say, hey, I'm not going to do that because it broke someone else. So we want to build that reliability and confidence on the patching experience with our solution. Other things I've heard earlier and throughout this week is providing update as a service to your own IT departments. The central IT is saying, or to your other service departments, central IT is saying, we want to get away from managing that update. We want to make a self-service portal where every application team would come there and select a time, what update they want to install and do that. So patching as a service there. I've heard from a few people there. And pre-checks. Many times the updates fail, not because of the updates problematic. Sometimes it fails because there's no lack of disk space on the machine. Or it's not configured properly. It's not supported in OS. So we are thinking to add some pre-checks to tell you this operation will not work right up front rather than making you go all the way and fail there. Cluster-aware updating or orchestration availability. So when you're patching those clusters or this business-critical applications, which is a cluster thing, you always want to ensure the application is up and run all the time. So we will patch only a certain segment of that, like patch only 30% at a time. Ensure that if you are using upgrade domains, anything, ensure that my application is running while you're patching. That's the whole idea behind that stuff. Third-party patching. Initially, I was thinking third-party patching is pretty prominent only on the client side. We are using Chrome, Adobe, but apparently third-party patching seems to be like very common even on the server side, so we have plans how do we actually do that stuff. So that'll become, that's in our backlog item. Next thing is integration with ITSM. So even now, like just the start of the session, I spoke to someone, where do you maintain your maintenance windows? I've seen people keeping the maintenance windows in any ITSM tools like ServiceNow, other tools, Service Manager. People keep business asset owner information in ITSM tools. If you are patching the particular application, we want to notify that business owner. Where do you get that? If something is a failure, you want to notify them. Where do you automatically get that? So they wanted an integration with ITSM solutions there. And also auditing. When something happens in a patch, if there's some problem, someone has to fix it, someone has to go create an incident management ticket. Further, they are talking about ITSM integration there. So those are the things what we have in backlog. Again, reiterating, if you have any specific things, big things which you are not covered here, the big things here, feel free to talk to us. We'd love to hear those feedback and adjust our priorities as appropriate. Okay, so just to wrap up, this is the agenda what we have went through, the demos roadmap, and the key takeaway, again, I want to reiterate, OMS provides orchestrated update management across any OS, Windows and Linux, and across any cloud, Azure, other private clouds, AWS, and on-premises system there. There's one key takeaway I want to take out when you go out of the room. So these are the different slides what we have across OMS. So I encourage you to look at each of the slides, and depends on your interest, look at the recording, so you get more and more details of each of the, across the four offerings I talked about, which is automation and control, insights, security, and backup. There's also some System Center sessions, specifically we want to know new capabilities happen in System Center. That's it. I'm open for questions right now.